Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. We have no time to waste here. Joe Biden, unfortunately, has been talking a lot lately. And I know, he's damned if he does, he's damned if he doesn't. Because when he talks, I sigh. And when he doesn't talk, I say, where's Joe? But he was out there again today. He was in front of like this weird Truman Show-esque game show set they've set up in the White House where he sits there in front of fake windows and talks to people behind desks. It's all very strange. That goes without saying. And you know what? It's very Black Mirror. But I think Truman Show probably resonates with this audience a little bit more. But before we get into what he says at this latest press briefing, it's not a press briefing, he didn't take any questions, this latest appearance is what I should call it. There was one cut from yesterday that I didn't get to, and I want to play it here. He's talking about Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and I think he forgot her name, so then he moved on to her lieutenant governor, who he also didn't know her name or his name or whoever it is. So this is what he came out with, cut two.
And of course, it's great to be here with my friend. We've become friends, an outstanding governor, one of the best governors in the United States of America, and her lieutenant governor who covers her in every way, both in terms of physically and mentally and every other way.
I don't even get it. What am I missing?
Apparently everything I'm missing. I don't know what, that was just words. It's just words.
But everyone, that got a big laugh. I could hear all six of the people watching laughing at the same time. He keeps trying to do this thing where he doesn't remember people's names and he's hoping that it's not obvious, but it is obvious. If you say, oh, my friend, a great governor, and you never at any point say her name. And by the way, this is a sensitive subject for Gretchen Whitmer because this happened before when she was debating someone for governor. The candidate called her by the former governor's name, and Joe's actually called her by the former governor's name. I think that it's either Rachel or Jennifer or something like that. So she's had her name forgotten by this president quite a few times at this point, and by other people as well. I guess she's just kind of forgettable. But I don't know what that means, covering her physically, mentally, in every other way. I'm not going to try to understand that. And I also just want to mention here that speaking of governors, former governor, he's running for governor of Virginia, and he was governor before, Terry McAuliffe. He was caught on a Zoom call and explaining to the people working for him or working for his campaign that unfortunately Joe Biden is very unpopular in Virginia. This is cut 29.
But we got to get Democrats out to vote. We are facing a lot of headwinds from Washington, as you know, the president is unpopular today, unfortunately, here in Virginia, so we have got to plow through.
Come on, man.
Oh, he would beg to differ. He has 81 million voters that would say otherwise, and he's got six people standing in front of him who will clap when he asks them to. So, unpopular. Take that somewhere else. That
you're
nonsense.
Lying dog-faced pony soldier.
And I just wanted to add in here that we should play some of the cuts from today. I don't know what this meeting was about. Here's the thing. Usually you look at a cut sheet, all right, and you'd be able to say, oh, okay, I get it. This is about the debt, or this is about, you know, Build Back Better, or this is about COVID. But when you really look at the cuts I have here, you wouldn't know what this is about. It could be, it just looks like incoherent ramblings all over my page. And that's what it is. I just want to play a couple of these. Let's start, Jared. And I'm hearing these for the first time, just as you are. So bear with me. I want to start with cut four.
And I'm going to make some brief comments.
Cut three.
I want to thank
participants that are here, as well as those on Zoom. And this is to state the obvious, an important get-together here.
Now, if you haven't caught on yet, I'm rolling through these coughing cuts because they're hard for me to sit through. So we're going to get through all of them. You know, just bear with me, and we're going to get through these pretty quickly. Cut 10.
To say that in plain English, it means you have to have 60 votes when there's a filibuster. 60 votes, a supermajority, instead of 50 to get anything done.
Cut 11.
To say that in plain English, it means you have to have 60 votes when there's a filibuster. 60 votes, a supermajority, instead of 50 to get anything done. It's not right, and it's dangerous.
All right, now that we've gotten those out of the way, we can move on to other things. He's talking about a company. I'm going to let you guys try to decide if you can figure out, try to decipher which company he's talking about here. Cut 5.
The American Association of Retired Persons, the AARP, Bank of America, Citibank, Deloitte, Intel, JP Morgan, NASDAQ, the National Association of Realtors, and Raytheon.
Raytheon. I am not familiar. Could he be talking about Raytheon? Perhaps? I don't want to go that far. I don't want to go that far. But the amazing thing is like,
and Raytheon.
The guy who's saying Raytheon is also telling the American people what we will and will not understand. Cut 16.
And I don't know. It's understandable why the average American wouldn't understand what the consequences of this will be for American security and the willingness of other countries to follow our lead.
Oh, we don't understand. I get it now. The dumb, credulous boomer rubes. We're not getting it. And that's why there's people with Let's Go Brandon signs welcoming you, Joe, when you pull up to Michigan. Is that why they're confused? They just don't understand it. They're too stupid to understand how great you are and how wonderful all of your plans are. By the way, if we don't understand it, why is Jen Psaki always telling reporters that there's no need to dumb this down for the American people? Maybe there is a need to dumb it down for all of us morons. He gets that we don't understand it. He understands our hesitancy to spend trillions of dollars on tree equity. We just don't get it. We're too dumb to get it. Maybe he should ask the smartest guy he knows, Hunter Biden, to explain it to all of us boobs so we can really soak in all of the awesomeness of Joe's plans. He's so compassionate, though, you know? Even when he's saying we don't understand it, he understands that we don't get it. We're just the average Americans, or the regular Americans, or the ordinary Americans. We're not expected to get it. And that's why yesterday when he was asked about Ethiopia, he said he didn't want to confuse the American people. We're easily confused, says the feeble old man who can't get into the White House without wandering into the bushes. Or who can't answer a question on Russia without pulling out no cards mid ice cream stop. But we're the ones who are confused. We're the ones who don't get it. We're the ones who need things dumbed down for us. Give me a break. Oh, and this is one of his favorite lines. He likes to say, if you're not going to help, get out of the way. I think he really makes him feel like Clint Eastwood. And he said this, you'll remember, way back when Governor Ron DeSantis was refusing to put six-year-olds in masks. He said, listen, if parents want to mask their kids, they can do that. If they don't want to mask their kids, they can do that. But it's up to the parents. The parents make the decision. And Joe Biden has an obsession with masking small children. So he really went hard at Ron DeSantis. He's obsessed with Ron DeSantis. It's his arch enemy. And he had made a remark that if you're not going to help us save lives, at least get out of the way. Do you feel lucky, punk? And he's making these comments again, but now it's if Republicans don't want to spend trillions of dollars on nonsense, on government nonsense that will never end, none of these programs will ever end, then at the very least, they can just get out of the way. It is politics, it is theater, it is manipulation at its absolute finest, and it's cut 13.
My Republican friends need to stop playing Russian roulette with the U.S. economy.
Oh.
If they don't want to do the job, just get out of the way. We'll take the heat. We'll do it. We will do it. Let us do it.
Oh, you're going to take the heat. Here's the problem, Joe. You are going to take the heat, and Republicans know that. That's why they're not going to get out of the way. And in fact, I don't think it's the Republicans that you need to get out of the way. I think it's some moderate Democrats who are actually holding this up. Perhaps you could talk to them and ask them to get out of the way.
Do an intensive bathroom search in Arizona.
Absolutely. That's called protesting, Jared. It's called social justice, and you should look it up. Also, let's do cut 14. He's wrapping up his remarks.
Let me ask you the DEFCON 10 question. If we don't, if we default, even for a day or two, what do you think the impact on the market will be?
You tell me. I'm confused. I'm not smart enough to understand this. Jared, can we play the wrap-up Porky Pig style comment?
Why we need to act? We need to act now. Many of them are here with me. Not next week. Now. Look forward to hearing from their perspectives, and we'll now get this meeting started.
Wonderful. All right. When we get back, I want to play some of these Josh Hawley cuts. A little bit different than Joe Biden. He's one of these evil Republicans who can put a sentence together pretty nicely. So I think everyone will enjoy that little breath of fresh air after the break. Eat Impure is extending the BOGO offer for an extra week with over 100,000 sold and counting. The thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. It starts working in a matter of minutes to cleanse the air in your home to help you start breathing better. And there are no costly air filters to replace, saving you hundreds of dollars every year and saving you a lot of work. It's a great product if you're feeling a little lazy, you want fresh air, but you don't really want to have to replace things or check on it. You just turn it on, you set it, and you forget it. Right now, Eden Pure is offering a BOGO to my listeners this week only. That's right, buy one, get one free. Pet, kitchen, paint smells. We've had all of those in our office, and this product really works to cleanse the air and really gives you the absence of smell, which is what you want. You don't want that flowery, perfumey smell trying to cover up other smells. Then you just get a weird combo. You just want the air to be clean, and that's what the thunderstorm does. So go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEBOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 10th at midnight. Shipping is free. We have a lot of people on the lines. I'm very happy about this. We'll take your calls for the rest of the hour. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Mara Healey run for governor?
Yes, I think she will.
78% of the audience believes yes. She will.
You know, Howie put it really well today in his column at the Boston Herald, and you guys can check that out also at HowieCarshow.com. But it suddenly became very interesting. When Trump endorsed Jeff Deal, I think a lot of people started paying attention to this race, and it's gonna be something to watch to see what Charlie Baker does and, you know, who jumps into this race now, knowing Charlie Baker, you know, smelling blood in the water. That's the exact way you should put it. Let's go to the calls here. AJ, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, AJ.
It seems like Biden is prevaricating about defaulting should the ceiling not be, the debt ceiling not be raised, because every day the U.S. takes in money in its treasury that exceeds by far the debt charges, the Social Security, and the Medicare, as well as the pension needs of the people. Therefore, there won't be any default in any of these. They're just lying to us.
Yeah.
Mark Levin actually gave the figures on in a Sunday night show.
Yeah, and AJ, you're right. That's what he was talking about today, was the debt ceiling. And I just thought he was talking about Build Back Bagel Bites, because that's usually what he's going on and on about.
My Build Back Better plan gets us back on track.
Who's, you know, I bring this up every once in a while, but the saboteur in this administration really screwed him with that name, Build Back Better. It's even hard for me to say, and I'm 29 years old and semi with it. Build Back Better. Who thought that was a good idea?
Saboteur is French, and Jean Kerry was on with French TV yesterday.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
And on French TV, he told everyone that Biden has no idea what's happening in his administration.
May
so, we. Yeah, you're right. I'm starting to think this might be a John Kerry situation. Baxter, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Baxter.
Hey, nice to talk to you again, Grace.
You too.
Are you familiar with Dr. Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist?
I am very familiar.
YouTube? Okay, so I was just going to talk about that. There's a YouTube clip where he's on the Bill Maher show, and he's sitting next to David Avenatti, Bill Maher, the governor of Washington State, and there was a couple of other pundits, but it was Jordan Peterson brought up this question about, he said, you know, I understand, you know, all these issues with Trump and everything, but you've got a lot of people are not taking this well. And basically he said, you know, the Democratic Party was part of their campaign from Biden was, you know, come back into the fold now. We're going to all be unified and together. He says, but all I see is polarization in this country ripping apart. And, you know, and I see it every day getting worse myself. And Bill Maher actually said, well, we thought that Trump, what we were worried about is that it would be like Iraq, that after Trump left, there would be an insurgency from the Trumpers, and, you know, we'd be dealing with an insurgency. But don't you agree, Grace, that the polarization is just getting worse and worse, and it's going to eventually rip this country right to shreds?
Yeah, and I don't buy that they were worried about some sort of takeover. I mean, I know that January 6th gave them all, you know, the headlines that they wanted and the sound cuts and the video clips, but I honestly don't think any of them were scared of that. It was just it was the same thing they talked about for 4 years. Every single thing Trump did was the end of democracy, and democracy was fine under Trump. But I agree with you. We are heading towards something. And I don't ever like to say a civil war, because I hate the thought of that. And I think people throw that around too willy-nilly. But what I will say is I've been reading more and more about a national divorce, and a lot of people, including Trump supporters, support the idea of a national divorce, of secession. And that's kind of a crazy thing to think about. I don't really know how it would work, but I don't think situations where you have, for example, Merrick Garland telling the FBI to look into angry parents who go to school board meetings, I don't think that is the kind of unity that most people who were on the fence with Joe Biden thought he was going to bring in to the fold, was, oh, you know, we'll start investigating anyone who disagrees with us. If you were smart, if you're a smart person and you followed what Barack Obama did during his presidency, including with the IRS, you could have imagined this very easily. But for uninformed people who just thought voting for Joe Biden would make them feel good, then they might have a few regrets about casting that vote. Now, Carol Markowitz has a great piece. Who do your children belong to, you or your government? Last week during a Virginia debate, Democrat Terry McAuliffe said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. We played that cut yesterday. And the context of this was that there was an angry parent in Fairfax County who got up at a school board meeting and read shockingly graphic content that was contained in some of the books at the school's library, and they tried to cut her off because there was children in the room. Her whole point was, you're letting our kids read this stuff. I'll continue with this. We're going to play some of the Josh Hawley. But this entire situation with parents being targeted by the FBI for voicing their opinions, this is a huge deal. And Merrick Garland has a little conflict of interest. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We left off, I was reading a piece from Carol Markowitz, and it's talking about how now parents are going to be investigated by the FBI if they're committed, if they're considered domestic extremists or domestic terrorists, or I don't know what the terminology is in Biden world, in 1984 Orwellian Biden administration world. But it's scary. And she says, last week during a Virginia debate, Democrat Terry McAuliffe said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. Here's the context. An upset parent in Fairfax County showed up to a school board meeting with two books she had pulled from her child's high school library. We're not going to play this audio because I saw it on Megyn Kelly's show and her podcast, I think. And the audio is really, really pornographic and creepy. And it's shocking that this is in a children's library. The books were shockingly graphic, far beyond pornography, and even contained explicit pedophilia. When she read from the book, the board members asked her to stop because the content was so deeply disgusting. Now, I'm going to skip around here in Carol's piece, but she writes, parents are rightfully angry. They're angry that schools stayed closed last year because the teachers' union said so. They're angry that their kids have to mask indefinitely without any science to back it up. Instead of engaging with these concerns, the National School Boards Association asked President Joe Biden to determine whether parents speaking out at a school board meeting are domestic terrorists. The Biden administration, of course, jumped on the idea. On Monday, Attorney General Merrick Garland instructed the FBI to convene meetings with leadership in each federal judicial district in the next 30 days. The Justice Department will also offer training to school board members to identify threats. The idea that people need help knowing when they have been threatened is a way to chill speech. Similarly, intimidation is a pretty vague term. That's what I was discussing with Ben Weingarten. How do you determine what intimidates someone? Is a school board member intimidated if a parent who discovered pedophilia in a school's library raises her voice? Is that now domestic terrorism? In reality, the intimidation is really aimed at parents, not school boards. Those parents who speak up are already taking a risk. Christopher Rufo wrote, this summer they tried to label parents who oppose critical race theory white supremacists. That didn't work, so they're raising the stakes in trying to label them domestic terrorists. Indoctrination thrives in silence, and the left understands this. Communist societies always separate the children from the parents. Parental influence trumps all other influence, and the brainwashers know this. But parents must keep up the fight. They cannot unsee what the union-led lockdown has shown them. They have to understand that the current battle is one of control. Control over who is in charge of what their children learn and internalize. It should always be the parents at the front lines. Now, with that being said, she mentions in here that Attorney General Merrick Garland instructed the FBI to convene a meeting with the leadership. In the memo, Garland noted, in recent months, there has been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats against school administrators. A lot of these school board meetings were focused on the masks, but it's important to note that a lot of these meetings focused on critical race theory. Now, I'm just throwing this out there. You guys can connect the dots in whichever way you see fit. But Merrick Garland is instructing the FBI to convene meetings with leadership in each federal judicial district in the next 30 days because he wants them to investigate any parents who are angry, basically, about critical race theory. On a side note, parents are also concerned over intrusive surveys and screeners that ask 12-year-olds if they are pansexual or gender fluid. Those surveys are often created and administered by Panorama Education. Do you care to know who the president and founder of Panorama Education is? The president and founder of the company that administers surveys about whether or not kids are pansexual or gender fluid. This is how small of a world it really is. The president and founder of Panorama Education is Merrick Garland's son-in-law. Merrick Garland's daughter is married to the president and founder of Panorama Education, the company that administers surveys and screeners that ask 12-year-olds whether or not they're pansexual or gender fluid. And parents don't like those screeners. But those parents, they might get on board with those screeners once the FBI comes knocking at their door. And the FBI is knocking at their door because it's been instructed by Merrick Garland. Again, you connect the dots however you wish to. I'm just putting out the information.
So Merrick Garland is using the FBI to keep his son-in-law's paycheck going, is what I pulled from that.
You know what, Jared? That is your takeaway.
That is my Boomer Rubish takeaway, yes.
You know what Joe Biden might say about that? You're just confused. You just don't understand it.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
He would understand, though, why you're so confused. You're just a regular American.
That's true.
And Jen Psaki would say, we don't want to dumb this down for you, Jared.
That's true. I do need things dumbed down.
Dan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, Grace? I think that after listening to you, the Attorney General Garland and the situation that you just described make very good bedfellows. He's got a vested interest with his family members, and he's trying to, get behind the push. There's nothing any more sinister than a government or a country trying to infiltrate the young minds of the country, the kids. And as of late, Grace, I've been doing a little research, and I have to say with, some situations that, are in Germany and, all of the what I call the propaganda machine of Germany, and they attack the youth. They know that the youth is the key to their everlasting survival, because if you win them, you get them to conform, you get the parents to conform, then, let's face it, you're very, very close to the destination that you want to be, where they're trying to go with all of what you've been speaking about.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And Dan, when you look at, and this is why I really enjoy Carol Markowitz's work, is because she's always been on the theme of these kids. And you look at the last 2 years, I mean, kids have always been getting brainwashed in these schools. That goes without saying. Even when I was a kid, I remember teachers did tend to slant left. It wasn't nearly as bad as it is now. But then you couple that with the fact that they've been home, they've been on Instagram, they've been away from their friends, then they do go back to school, they're all wearing masks. And you realize that we are going to have a very troubled generation, because what shot have they had? I mean, it's been pretty brutal to be a kid over the last 2 years. And I think about the quote that actually, it's from Nelson Mandela, but the reason I have it atop of mind is because Simone Biles said it when she was testifying against the FBI and about how they really let her down with the Larry Nassar investigation, and that was a complete disgrace. But she said a Nelson Mandela quote, and it was, "There can be no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children." And the way we have been treating our children, acting like these masks and these rules and these lockdowns aren't going to affect them, as if they're so resilient. And that's one thing Carol said before on this show, is that these same adults who all constantly talk about how damaged they are and how traumatized they are and how, all these snowflakes who talk about how awful everything is for them, they all, in the same breath, like to tell you that these kids are going to bounce back from this. Explain why. It doesn't really make sense to me. We'll go back to the calls in one sec, but I do want to play some of this Josh Hawley, because he is just a great speaker, and he always drills down on these issues. Cut 30, please, Jared.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Monaco, I want to come back to this extraordinary letter and memorandum that the Attorney General of the United States issued yesterday. Practically every day brings new reports about this administration weaponizing the federal bureaucracy to go after political opponents. Frankly, I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in American history. I mean, for those of us who missed the McCarthy era, I guess this president is intent on bringing it to us but with new force and new power and new urgency, unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, and that was a point of the conversation I was having with Ben Weingarten, which is, it's just the lack of subtlety. There's no nuance with this administration. They're proud of this. Let's skip Cut 31. We've played it before, but let's go to Cut 32.
Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
And I should note here that the person replying is Deputy AG Lisa Monaco.
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms, nor does it define harassment or intimidation.
Let's play Cut 33.
I mean, this seems to, in the First Amendment context, we talk about the chill to speech. If this isn't a deliberate attempt to chill parents from showing up at school board meetings for their elected school boards, I don't know what is. I mean, I'm not aware of anything like this in American history. We're talking about the FBI. You're using the FBI to intervene in school board meetings. That's extraordinary.
Senator, I have to respectfully disagree. That is not what...
Point me to an instance.
The Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear.
She loves to say that. Made quite clear. Just because you say something's quite clear doesn't make it so, Miss Monaco. Cut 34.
Violence is not appropriate. Spirited public debate on a whole range of issues is absolutely what this country is all about.
Then why is it being investigated by the FBI?
It is not. When and if any situation turns to violence, then that is the appropriate role of law enforcement to address it.
The memorandum covers more than violence. It talks about intimidation. It talks about harassment. So I'm asking you to draw some lines. We do this all the time in the First Amendment context. This is the sum and substance of First Amendment law. So I expect that you'll be available and willing to do it now. Tell me where the line is with parents expressing their concerns, waiting for hours in the school board meetings. We've all seen the videos. This has happened in my state. Parents have waited for hours. Sometimes the school board meetings have been ended before they can speak because the school board doesn't want to hear it.
No, and this is a great point by Josh Hawley, and the senator always makes his points in an incredibly precise and persistent way. I think you can tell that she's a little bit intimidated herself, so he might want to watch out. She might ask the FBI to investigate him. But the real crux of this issue is that we're always told that things can be investigated or, you know, violence is not appropriate. But what he's asking is for her to define what is considered harassment, what is considered intimidation. And what it reminds me of, ironically, is the critical race theory debate, because it's very hard to debate something. It's very hard to fight against something when the person you're debating it with will not define its terms. It's hard to say, I don't want critical race theory in my child's school, if every time you say it, the person you're debating against says, well, that's not critical race theory, or we're not teaching critical race theory, or you don't understand what critical race theory is. And then you say, okay, define it. And they won't define it. They'll define it with vague terms. They don't like definitions, because definitions allow the opposing side to come up with concise debates, and they don't want that. They want this to be something you can't really define. You can't really put your finger on, because if you can't define it, then you can't debate it. And so the vagueness is the point. That's exactly why she doesn't want to define what harassment is, what intimidation is, because then people will say, well, that's insane. That's insane. Which it is. Let's play Cut 35.
You know, all I can say is this is truly extraordinary. I think you know it is. It's unprecedented. You can't point to a single instance where anything like this has happened before. And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn, stunned, that if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them. You are attempting to silence them. You are attempting to interfere with their rights as parents and, yes, with their rights as voters. This is wrong. This is dangerous. And I cannot believe that an attorney general of the United States is engaging in this kind of conduct. And frankly, I can't believe that you are sitting here today defending it. I intend to get answers to these questions. You won't answer my questions. I'm going to get answers to these questions. Mr. Chairman, we need to have a hearing on this subject. We need to hear from the Attorney General himself. He needs to come here, take the oath, sit there, and answer questions. We have never seen anything like this before in our country's history. And frankly, I want to say, I think it is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
You know, we always say on this show that some of this stuff is theater. It's grandstanding. It's meant to go viral. But he's a good thespian. Josh Hawley, he really is. He knows how to make his point, and it's something that can be used by other Republicans. Just play that cut. That should be running everywhere. That breaks it down for people, and it enrages people, and it should. People should be mad. This is insanity. It's meant to chill the freedom of speech. It's meant to make you afraid to speak your mind because you're going to be labeled a nutcase, and that's exactly what they want to do. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Beavers that have not been seen on some rivers since Tudor times, massacred for their pelts and now back. And if that isn't conservatism, my friends, I don't know what is. Build back beaver, I say. Build back beaver.
That's Boris Johnson. Hey, hold on a second. Build back bagel is what I say. Leave the beavers out of this. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. I love my RAV4 XLE. Best car I've ever had, and the process of leasing it was incredibly easy. Thanks to all of the wonderful staff at Toyota of Portsmouth. They have a huge, sparkling, clean showroom, and they'll always make you feel right at home. They're located just south of the Portsmouth traffic circle off 95. So go to toyotaofportsmouth.com or visit them at the showroom and tell them I sent you. Howard Lawrence Carr, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Grace.
Excellent, excellent column in the Boston Herald today. People can check that out at HowieCarrShow.com.
I had two, an early edition column and a late edition column.
I really like the art of the deal, mostly because of the headline.
Thank you. It was a good headline, and I'm glad that the race is heating up. We'll have Jeff, you had him on. We'll have him on in the last hour of the show today for a while to discuss this. And I assume that Charlie Parker was asked about this morning in Salem at his appearance in the Witch City.
The Witching Hour is what you wrote in your column.
The Witching Hour in the Witch City. So I assume he'll have something to say. I'm sure he was very disappointed in what happened.
Yes, I would think so.
He's always disappointed by Donald Trump.
How, you've got a big show planned today, not just because of Jeff Diehl. Tell everybody what they can expect.
Well, we've also got Victor Davis Hanson. You've seen him. He's a really good writer as well. He's a scholar at Stanford. And he's got a new book out, The Dying Citizen. And we're going to have him on it at 4:30. And that should be pretty interesting too. And we're going to play some of these Biden cuts. And you know, I must say, I had a couple of them on my cut sheet yesterday, and I didn't get to them. And then I was kicking myself this morning, Grace, when I heard them on another show.
Well, but, what can I say, Howie? We played a couple of them. I'm sure some other people did, but you will be able to make up for it. You got 4 hours to play all this Biden, and I know you won't miss the opportunity. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Don't go anywhere.